Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dusty and Friends.
What would you rather be, a lion or a panda?
Coach, I'm me. Why would I want to be anything else?
This is Dusty and Friends with Dusty the Fan Man Hera.
I'm not sure you realize how psychologically healthy that actually is.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two of Dusty and Friends. We bring on now the head football coach at Lewis and Clark College right up there on Palatine Hill, Joe Bushman, joining us. Coach, thanks for coming in, man. How are you?
I'm good, Dusty. Thanks for having me, buddy.
I'm excited for this one because I love your story, and you have a great story because people will know that you coached at Clackamas and you won a state title in your time at Lake Ridge and Central Catholic as well, but you are also, your story starts here in Portland as you played for the Benson Techmen.
Yeah.
I mean, playing for state titles at Civic Stadium. I mean, it goes all the way back in the late 80s. You were the man of high school football here in the state.
Well, I don't know about the man, but I was fortunate to be there when we had a great run at Benson. Really, really proud of that. You know, I mean, I know we're the last PIL team to win a state championship, so I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I was really good at handing the ball off. I threw a few to Derek Baldwin, but no, those were great days.
And they really were the last PIL team to win a state title, and teams have come close. I mean, Lincoln came very close in the early 2000s. Jefferson had a couple of runs, but PIL football, Grant has been close as well. PIL football, It was at its peak, you know, in the 70s and 80s, and it has taken some lumps along the way. And to be the last guy to hoist a trophy for the PIL, that's got to mean a lot to you guys that played at Benson.
I think it does. You know, it's kind of sad at times to see what's happened over at Benson.
Yeah.
And I think the PIL is really trying to do some things to become more competitive. But I look back during those teams in the 80s, and it wasn't just us. I mean, there was a lot of good football, a lot of good basketball. I mean, the PIL was rocking and rolling at that point. So just take a lot of pride in that. And it wasn't just that state championship. I mean, we were good for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a lot of good programs. You got to knock at the door. I think we went to the semis a couple times. Then we lost in the quarterfinals the year before we won it with maybe even a better team. But just like anything else, sometimes you got to knock on the door and then you kind of get that experience and push it through. But that was fun. We were just blessed with a bunch of guys who love football and love to compete.
And now you go on from there and you went to Lewis and Clark right out of high school. And that is where I met you. This is like the cool thing about your path and your trajectory is there was a moment, my dad coached at Lewis and Clark when you were there, and there was a moment in the dorms because it may be irresponsible parenting, but it worked out for me. But I would just be dropped off with college football players in the dorms during daily doubles and on weekends and stuff, but you guys were all great and far more responsible than I was in college. I'll say that much.
Happy to be part of your formative years, Dusty.
But this was, I remember I was a small kid and I fell and I hit my head on a chair and the players couldn't stop my head from bleeding. And I remember there's between them saying, Hera's going to kill us. Coach Hera's going to kill us. Is somebody goes, hey, I think Bushman's wants to be a doctor. We should go find Bushman. And you were the only guy that could get my eye to stop bleeding. But that has always stuck with me that your path, like you wanted to go and be a doctor, right?
Yeah, I did. I don't know where I went wrong, but somehow got into teaching and coaching and have been blessed, but I do remember that. That is a great story. I thought it was a bee sting.
No, oh, I got a bee sting too. That was at Pacific during a game.
Okay.
But you may have helped me with that too.
Yeah, it might have been twice. I don't like, know.
It was a different time at Lewis and Clark then, but that was, how did that path change for you from going and being a doctor? And when you make a choice to go to a Lewis and Clark and then you ended up transferring to Willamette where you had a great career there as well. Yeah. How did that change for you where you were like, you know what, I want to be a teacher and a coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I was going into my senior year of college and was all on track to go to medical school. And I started to have some tutorial groups and started doing some kind of student teaching. And I just really got a high out of helping people, you know. Yeah. And about that time, Dan Hawkins took over. You know, he's down at UC Davis now. He became the head coach, and he asked me if I'd stay on for an extra year. And I just got the coaching bug. I just got a high out of working with kids and feeling like I was impacting them positively. And next thing you know, I'm a teacher and a coach, and it's been a great life. You know, do I regret it sometimes? Maybe financially, but. I'd like to think the trade-off, you know, I've been really blessed to be able to work with a lot of really quality coaches and kids, and it's been rewarding.
You know, that's something that, you know, I was talking about earlier and I want to dive into is, you know, Division III football and NAIA football back then, it's a lot different in the Northwest than it is in different parts of the country because of the fact that, you know, there aren't very many FCS programs or D2 programs, and the caliber of player is really high. But, you know, you mentioned Dan Hawkins at Willamette at that time. You know, he goes on to Boise State and is the architect of those Boise State programs. And then the guy who came in after him at Willamette was Mark Speckman, who invented the fly sweep,
those,
you know?
Those guys were amazing. You know, Bob Gregory, who was recently the D coordinator at Washington, he was on that staff as well. And, you know, if I would have been a little smarter, I probably would have stayed with the college game because I really coached with them for a couple years. But I was in a hurry at that time to make money, and I got a teaching job offer. And so I ended up going the high school route. But sometimes I think back and go, boy, if I would have stayed with those guys, you know, who knows what would have happened.
You know, that's something I was talking with Alex Brink yesterday on from E-Force. And, you know, I was asking him about how he got into his route of coaching. And, you know, he just wanted to help kids. But then he realized, like, playing in the CFL, it was 6 months gone and then 6 months at home. Coaching college football, it is kind of like that, where he was talking about, like, I didn't want to live that life where I'm gone all the time. And in high school football, you do have that stability of kind of being at home and having that family aspect.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't trade it. You know, my first job was at David Douglas. I met my wife there. I'm still with her 25 years, and we have a couple kids. And being a high school coach, you're really able to also be a dad and really be involved. I know you're coaching your kids right now and you're getting to live that. And
it's awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better, you know? So if you go the college route, I don't know if you have the time to really invest in your kids like I was able to. I don't have any regrets. You know, I got to coach them in youth sports. I got to be around them at Clackamas. It was just really a blessing, you know, but now they're gone. And so That kind of led me to the move to college.
And then that was it, huh? Like, you know, Jake, your son, who plays for you now at Lewis and Clark, he was a, you guys went out on the right. On the right note, you win a state title at Clackamas, and then once he graduated, that was kind of that time to move to the college game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was just kind of a natural. When I got out there to Clackamas, Jake and all of his buddies, you know, he was close with kids above his class, you know, close with kids below, and I think we started coaching him in like third grade, you know, and at that point the program was down. Wow. And anyway, just built it, and it culminated with that state championship. So it seemed like the timing was right. You know, we had accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. I know I left some really good teams at Clackamas, but at the same time, I kind of knew at some point I wanted to get back into the college game.
Yeah.
and give it a go. And so that's kind of how it all came to be. So,
you know, there's so many like offshoots of this that I want to dive into, but you know, from that championship team, you have a guy named Cole Turner who now here we are fast forwarding a few years. He's in the NFL. Like,
I know,
as a high school coach, how does that feel to see and kind of watch him develop and kind of grow into the player that he has?
Yeah. I couldn't be more proud of Cole. I mean, in high school, he was an amazing leader by example. You know, you could just tell the kid was special. Was probably our most talented player, but he was also the kid that, you know, I'd go for a run up there on a Saturday morning and he'd be out just running routes on air by himself, you know. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
You know, and he you could just tell that he was always trying to perfect his craft. And I kind of knew that his body, he was going to grow, you know, cause his dad's a big guy. And once he got into college, I'd get together with him every Christmas time. And we go out for coffee, and I could just see him get bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, there was a time where he was struggling a little bit, I believe after his sophomore year, and kind of had some doubts, you know, whether he wanted to stay with it. But thank God he did, and it really couldn't happen to a better kid. I mean, he's not only a great worker, but he's just a super high character kid too.
Yeah.
So you know how it is. It's always nice when somebody who's so likable and such a good kid makes it big time, you know?
Yeah. And it's a super rewarding feeling to kind of see how the reverence that Cole still talks about when he talks about, you know, his high school times. You know, we had him on just before the draft and he was talking about how, you know, the memories of, you know, winning a state title and then, you know, moving on to college. Those are things that you'll never forget as a high school athlete as an athlete period, is that time in high school and the impression that you have as a coach.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had the best time those few years, you know, we just had such good kids. And what was neat about it is they were all Clackamas kids. You know, they had been kind of groomed from a young age, and instead of transferring to one of the privates, they stayed at home. You know, we said, hey, let's stay at home. We can do some great things together. And we were able to, so, couldn't be more proud of him.
Joe Bushman is our guest. He's the head football coach up at Lewis and Clark College. It's right here in downtown Portland. And look, it is not downtown, on the outskirts near LO up on Palatine Hill. It is a unique situation that you guys are in a unique conference in the Northwest Conference in the area. And I want to pick your brain on that, because Division III is, I'd say I call it the purity of college football.
Yep.
Non-scholarship and guys that are just in it for the love of the game. And this conference is a juggernaut when it comes to that Division III level. So we have Joe Bushman in studio with us. We'll continue. Text line 503-250-1080. This is Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Joe Bushman, head football coach at Lewis and Clark College, is our guest today. He's a guy went to Benson, last PIL school to win a state title, then Lewis and Clark and Willamette, and now after stops at, was Lake Ridge the first head coaching gig for you?
No, Central Catholic.
Central Catholic was, and then Lake Ridge.
Yep, Central Catholic, Lake Ridge, and then Clackamas.
And then now he's back up on Palatine Hill with the Pioneers. And the Northwest Conference is a unique conference in small college football because of the fact that there's not a bunch of FCS schools or really Division II schools that you guys are competing with. Like, you look around, and if you go to even the Midwest where the powerhouses are, like Wisconsin Whitewater and what's the Mountain Union?
Yep.
Another big one. And then you go down to Texas where they have Mary Hardin Baylor. Those powerhouses still have to compete with FCS schools and a lot of D2 schools. There's only two in the Northwest in Eastern Washington, and Portland State is the FCS's, and then the D2 schools are Central Washington and Western Oregon. Right. Other than that, it's small college, which means there's a lot of really good football players that, you know, usually would be playing at those levels that are at D3.
Absolutely. It's good football. You know, if you come and watch games, people always who haven't come to a game for a while are shocked at the talent level.
You know,
it's just our kids are not quite as tall, maybe not quite as fast, but every bit as skilled. And the top teams in our league, I mean, if you look at like Linfield last year, I mean, amazing. I'm not so sure they can't compete with some D2 and maybe some D1 schools to a certain extent. I mean, they were loaded, you know. So I've been impressed with the level of football, and not just that, the coaching. The coaches in our league are fantastic. I mean, schematically, I've definitely been challenged, you know.
Not
that it wasn't in high school, but I mean, from a schematic standpoint, you've got some of the best minds around.
And that has got to be, it's a different way you recruit, because Division III is non-scholarship. So one of the things that goes with Division III is really high academic schools. And what is that recruiting process like for you guys where, you know, you're making that pitch, but it's like that scholarship check isn't going to be coming in the mail for you.
You know, it's like you said, I mean, kids who come with us, I mean, they love to play football, but they're also can wrap their heads around the quality of the education, you know,
right. And
our place, you know, not to brag on us, but to brag on us, I mean, we really are the best, you know. So from a strictly preparation for life after college, mm-hmm. you know, you think about getting a degree from Lewis and Clark. that means something. You know, that means you've been challenged. You've had a high degree of academic rigor. Our kids are very employable. You know, they go get great jobs and they go get into their graduate schools. And so that's a big selling point for us is, you know, if you come with us, you're going to have a great experience playing football.
Yeah.
But you're also going to be very well prepared to launch when you're done.
That's so valuable because you getting guys that they understand the process, right? When you're going through some of the, I don't know. It sucks as a player when you're getting MF'd, you know, sometimes, and that comes with the territory of playing, right? But there's also like a maturity that comes with those guys have been taking care of their business since they were in high school, because when you have to have a 3.75 to be, you know, considered to even get into the school, you've been taking care of your business, and it's got to be nice for you to not have to worry about some of the issues that other programs have to worry about.
True. I mean, we have the best kids. You know, I think our average GPA of our incoming freshmen is 3.9. So
holy smokes.
Yeah, you're around a bunch of kids who get it. And you mentioned the term maturity. You know, that's it. They're able to wrap their heads around it. You know, too many kids, in my opinion, get way too caught up in do they have offers and scholarships and things of that sort. And, you know, if you're one of those kids who's blessed to get a Division I scholarship and it's a good fit for you as a school and academically, how can I argue against that, right?
Right.
But if you don't, which is the majority of kids, you know, the ones that come with us, they can look more big picture. And usually they have parents who understand it. You know, I mean, half the battle's with the kids, but the other half is recruiting the parents and getting them to understand the value of the education. And even if you have to pay a little bit more going in, they can understand the investment, you know, and the long-term benefit outseeds maybe a little more additional cost going in.
Now, as you're recruiting and you're kind of identifying players, like I know that a lot of coaches will just go and you go to a high school football game and you're like, dang, he's good. I want that guy. What is that process like for you guys as you get you have to have that match of athletically talented and academically? Yeah,
it's hard. It's a juggling act. You know, I mean, the kids jump off the page, but then you got to make sure that they also have the GPA, you know? And so our place is higher academic standards than any place, so that you're even more bottlenecked, you know, at the top as far as your chances of getting kids.
Now, does that mean that you guys have cast a wider net? Is it, I mean, the internet has got to be a savior for you guys in that you're not having to travel across the country. You can filter down with a lot of these recruiting services now and kind of say, no, he doesn't even, the grades aren't there. He doesn't even fit anything
exactly
that we're looking for.
You know, when I go to the recruiting services, I don't even look at a kid who's below a 3.5.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a waste of time, you know, but our net is cast wide. Oregon, Washington, we've made inroads. We've got probably 20 kids on our roster from Portland, Vancouver area, but we spread out into California, Arizona, Hawaii. We're really represented up and down the West Coast. And I'm not sure the makeup of the other schools in our league. I think they're more predominantly Oregon, Washington, whereas we have more kids from California than any other state.
Well, and when I came up and I was in your office just last week and talking, trying to kidnap you to get you down here for this. You had one of your players in who was from Ohio, and he was just searching schools that were in big cities that were Division III schools and good academic schools in big cities, and Lewis and Clark was it for him.
Yeah. Sam kind of fell on our lap, really.
I mean,
you know, although we do have a kid from Germany too, a tight end from Germany.
Oh, so, you're kidding
me. Yeah. Yeah. So that tells you something. I mean, if you get a kid from Ohio, you know, that they value the educational experience, and he's been fantastic.
And that's something though, that when you're going out and sitting down in homes, it's probably pretty easy to sell to mom and dad that aspect of, look, we're going to get you the education that is going to serve you well beyond just the 4 years that he's playing football here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge selling point for us. And also that you're going to be around kids from all over the place. You know, you're not necessarily going to go to a school and you're just going to be, it's going to be like high school where you're with a bunch of kids from Oregon and Washington. You're going to get to branch out. You know, my son, Jake, geez, he's got a really good friend from San Diego. He's got a friend from Hawaii. He gets to go travel with these guys, spend time with these guys. I don't know if he'd get to do that if he was at another school. So that's a big selling point. And the other selling point for us is we are very diverse as far as a football team goes. We're, I want to say, 70, 80% student of color. So we really draw on that too, you know, that you're going to come and you're going to get to be with not only kids geographically diverse, but racially diverse as well.
Joe Bushman is our guest. He's head football coach at Lewis and Clark College. He is a long history as a high school football coach in the area, which I want to revisit that because that would have been, that's probably a big allure to the guy who brought you in to Lewis and Clark, who you took over for, Jay Losey. And I have, actually, now I'm getting myself sidetracked. I want to start with, I have a Losey question for you.
Sure.
Because it was one of the big mysteries that we went, huh? And then he resurfaced again more recently. Joe Bushman is with us, head football coach at Lewis and Clark. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our friend of the day, Joe Bushman, head football coach at Lewis and Clark College. You took over for Jay Losey, the former Linfield head coach, and then longtime assistant, right-hand man for Mike Riley at Oregon State. When Losey left Oregon State, a lot of people said, "Oh, where's Jay Losey going? Like, where's the next stop?" And then he comes in, pops up as the head coach at Lewis and Clark, and it was a surprise to kind of everybody. And then he retires from Lewis and Clark. Was it a surprise to you to see him on Mike Riley's staff with the New Jersey Generals of the USFL?
Yeah, a little bit. That kind of came out of the, he didn't tell me when he retired that he was going to do that.
Yeah.
And I was telling you on the break, I was a little worried about him because all he does is football all day. He
just
loves
a football
it.
Guy.
He's not like some of us that have other hobbies. And it's like, Jay, what are you going to do, dude? You know, but about a week later he came to me and he told me he got that gig, and it's great for him because he will not have to do all of the head coach things that I think he was a little burnt out on, you know, the recruiting, the managing that you have to do. He just wants to coach football, and, you know, more power to him. He's earned it, you know? So I talked to him the other day and he's just really enjoying coaching a position. He's like coordinating a couple special teams. He's just really in his element.
And that's awesome. And you mentioned like the aspect of, he just wants to coach football, and the recruiting can burn guys out. As a head coach, like how much time are you spending, and kind of how do you divvy up your day? You have to be regimented in a schedule to be a head coach, right? Because there's only 24 hours in a day, and there's a hell of a lot of things you got to do.
Yeah, no. And it's been a little shock to the system for me. I forgot being an assistant for a few years, how many things come across your desk every day. But I'd say I probably spend at least 50% of my time on recruiting. You know, for me, being in a high school for so long, the way I explain it to people, I basically traded in teaching for recruiting, you know, and part of the fun is I get to travel, You know, I get to go spend time with kids. The kids I'm meeting with on a daily basis are all great kids, so they're fun to interact with. But it is a bit of a grind, you know, and you've got to stay on it. You've got to be persistent. I mean, anybody who's a good recruiter or good in sales knows that you've got to just have kind of that insatiable attitude about it, you know. And one thing I've tried to do is really form relationships mm-hmm. with recruits early, you know, so they get a little bit of taste of what it's actually going to be like when they come to us. Just be really relational and be really genuine, you know, because kids at the end of the day, they just want to be looked after and cared about, and parents want to know that their kids are going to be invested in.
I mean, it's got to be tough to kind of start those conversations, because you don't know what you're getting yourself into or what kind of person that you're going to be talking to. And high school kids, they can be tough eggs to crack.
Yeah. You know, and it's getting harder and harder to communicate with some of them. You know, I mean, I'm old school, so I started out just, you know, texting them. Well, now half of them don't respond to a text. So now we're in the Twitter world, which is, you know, all new game for me. But you just have to be persistent, you know, and you got to figure out the way to connect. And that's one thing I'm going around my second go around here with the recruiting is just talking to kids about, you know, get in the habit of responding to texts, learn how to look at your email. If you want to be recruited, you've got to show college coaches that you're interested and you're responsible. You're into it. You know, if I text you on a Monday, I should hear back from you on Monday, Tuesday at the latest. I don't want to have to come back to you, you know, or I don't want to get a response like a week later. I don't know what's going on those phones anymore. I mean, I just think that so many of them have so many different things going, and sometimes important stuff kind of gets thrown by the wayside.
Are there in that? That's great advice for like anybody that has a kid that's listening that is getting recruited or maybe involved in recruiting, and that kind of is like, if you were to give that advice of, hey, these are kind of your bullet points. If your child is getting recruited, you know, what things would you want those parents to be aware of and kind of relay to their student athlete that this is what coaches are looking for. This is kind of how it should go down if you want to be taken seriously as a recruit.
That's a great question. I was just at David Douglas this morning, and that's one of the things I went over with the kids at the end is, for one, respond. Mm-hmm. Two, when I'm meeting with you, have good eye contact and do some research on the schools before they come see you so you can ask some good questions, you know. And the other thing we talked about is just with, you know, with your highlight film, you know, make sure that in your first few clips, you know, coaches go through so many different highlight films. You got to jump off the page, you know, in your first few clips. I probably only watch 4 or 5 and I pretty much got my mind made up on you, you know? Yep. So if you're a tight end, don't just show yourself running routes and catching show yourself blocking.
Right.
You know, if you're an offensive lineman, show yourself, you know, drive blocking, but also show yourself in space, you know, and have some plays that really are kind of eye-catching early, you know. Don't, if you're a linebacker, don't show yourself dropping into coverage and the quarterback hits you on in the stomach and you run it back. I mean, anybody could do that. Me and you could do that, Dusty, right? So, you know, have some clips that definitely jump off the page, but also just be a good communicator and be a good people person.
Yeah, and that is, that I think that's a huge one for any high school kid to kind of get that advice is that, you know, as you grow up, you're going to have conversational relationships. Not everything is going to be via text or DM on social media. It will have to be face-to-face, whether you're trying to land a job or you're communicating in sales or doing something like that. And I think recruiting is a great part of that because you're meeting unfamiliar people who are going to be essentially, for lack of a better term, your boss when you're talking to a coach in somebody that you're going to be playing for a few years.
Absolutely. And that, you know, as a parent, that's something I've always really emphasized with my kids. You know, at some point, you're going to need to be face-to-face with someone.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that person's going to be older than you, more experienced than you. You've got to be able to talk and be assertive, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the kids anymore, I call them kids, but, you know, the 20-somethings that are out there, if you have really good people skills and you're able to listen and ask questions, I mean, you jump off the page right now. You know, so many kids just have a hard time because they're used to having their head in their phone all day. You know? So to me, that's something, you know, advice to parents, you know, is God, make your kids learn how to communicate, especially with adults.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think that it almost seems like we're boomeranging back around to that. Like, we lost sight of that for a while, right? And as, like, I think I grew up with the starting to lose sight and becoming more in the digital world. Like, I'm finding with my kids, I'm almost overemphasizing, hey, the personal aspect of it, because of the fact that, you know, it's something that I saw kids in my generation lost. And then I'm even doing, like, the back in my day to people that are just a few years younger than me, where we do get lost in our phones. So it almost feels like we're starting to get that boomerang back around to the more personal relationships and contact.
I agree 100%.
And it's good for the young people to learn. We got Joe Bushman with us. He's a head coach at Lewis and Clark College. He's a head football coach there, and it's a school that is near and dear to my heart. And this is kind of an interesting place for you, because you did play there and you're familiar with it.
Yep.
I want to ask you about your reminiscing and going down memory lane when you're walking around campus. Are you in those times where you're going, uh-oh, I remember that place there? We've got Bushman here with us. Your text at 503-250-1080 as well. This is a prime opportunity for whether you're a parent out there that has a kid that is being recruited or could be recruited. You have the text line right here to ask a head football coach questions that could help your son or daughter in their sport. So send them to us, 503-250-1080. We continue with Joe Bushman on The Fan. Our friend of the day is Joe Bushman, the head football coach at Lewis and Clark College. It's very unique, your situation that you're in, where you played there. Like, do you ever walk around campus and reminisce and go down memory lane? There we go. We got
back on.
Yep. We're
all
on.
Right. Yeah, I do. I do reminisce. I reminisce that I wish I would have relaxed and had a little more fun up there because I was so heavy in the books, but
right.
Wouldn't be lying. I mean, I think about those times in the freshman dorm in Copeland, and that's about the time where, you know, Tom Smythe was there and really did a good job recruiting. And we had some great teams there. But yeah, those were fun times. And it's such, if you haven't been up there, it's such a beautiful campus. I mean, it's like you're going to school basically in a forest, you know.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It surprises me how many people from the Portland area haven't even been up there, you know. But if you're ever looking for a place just to go for a walk and see some beautiful scenery, it's there.
And you mentioned Tom Smythe and kind of the teams that he had there. He was there for a short period of time, and I think a lot of people will know, you know, Tom Smythe is one of the winningest high school football coaches in Oregon's history. So the good thing for you is that high school coaches have had great success when they
absolutely.
And move up to Lewis and Clark.
He's been great. He's reached out to me a couple times in the last month. He's sending me kids from Europe, sending me recruits from Europe, wants to help as an offensive analyst next fall. So we'll see where we can go with that. But he's really been a good resource so far.
And that is, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, the coaches that you had when you were at Willamette, where you had, you know, whether it's Bob Gregory around the defense or Dan Hawkins was the head coach who went on to Boise State, Colorado, and now is at UC Davis. But Smythe is another guy that when you think of kind of the creative and innovative offenses that we see kind of pervasive in college football now, you guys were doing that in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. He was really an innovator when it comes to the spread offense. You know, he was one of the first guys, at least at the high school level, that was doing it so successful. You look back in those Lakeridge teams of the 80s. I mean, that was, you know, shotgun. That was a big deal at that point. You know, people weren't doing that. And now that's kind of what everybody does.
And that's an interesting kind of tale as we talk about, like, offenses in the NFL and how they are getting more collegiate, right?
Yes.
There is a huge trickle up in the game of football, because especially small college football, like when Rich Rodriguez at Valdosta State, which is a D2 school, that's where the zone read became, you know, commonplace, because you have to get creative and find some shortcuts, right? Because
absolutely,
you're not stockpiled with D1 talent.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and now you have the whole evolution of the RPO game, which is really, I think, hard to defend. You know, I mean, in principle, you're putting a defender in conflict, and based on what they do, the offense is always right, you know, on paper. Yeah. You know, so if you have a heady quarterback who's able to read that stuff, it's hard to defend. I mean, it's amazing what has happened offensively, not just in college, but now you look down to the high school level, and you know, most people are running different types of RPOs.
What has been the thing that, as you started your coaching, you know, journey in the 90s, and here we are 2022, the biggest change that you've seen kind of in that high school up to college game?
You know, I think that there's just been a lot more emphasis on open formations, not a whole lot of use of tight ends and mm-hmm. fullbacks. I think that's pretty commonplace now. You know, you've got four or five wide. You didn't used to see that in high school. You know, you go back in the day and it was wishbone and eye mm-hmm. formation. But what I think is interesting right now, I know when we were at Clackamas, we kind of went old school. We would get in double tight. We'd get in this formation called hippo, which is double tight eye backs. And what I found is now it's almost starting to turn the other way, where if you're more of a power running team, people aren't spending as much time focusing on how to defend that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Now that is almost the unique thing in the game. And so if we can recruit like I'm hoping, that's what that's my goal, is that we can get back to doing some more of that type of stuff like we did at Clackamas and just come right at you, you know, because like I said, outside linebackers, what do they do most of the time? Well, they either come off the edge or they got to drop into pass coverage. They're not used to a fullback running at them and
barreling
kicking them out.
Them.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, holy crap, this is a little bit different. So I'm kind of wondering if things are going to start to turn the other way.
And that's interesting too, because like we haven't really seen the marriage of those two, you know, kind of RPO game and, you know, put you in a phone booth, because they do kind of contradict each other. And one, you want to get in space and make the defense choose, but there's going to be an element of, you know, obviously the reason why play action was a thing, that's your first RPO, is, you know, you play action, you hold it in the belly, and then you hit your tight end releasing in the flat. We are going to see kind of this evolution of, you know, the brutal offenses where you're coming downhill, and the little bit of the spread game as well, to kind of keep defenses honest.
Yeah, and that's really what, you know, we hired an offensive coordinator from San Jose State recently, and really have emphasized a lot of our passing game in the spring. But something we just talked about the other day is there comes a time to me in every football game where you got to be able to run the ball.
Right.
You know, I still am just kind of old school that way. You know, you got 4 minute offense, you get inside the five, you got to score. I mean, what's easier than having great technique, great physicality, and don't overthink it. Just hand the ball off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you're really good, they may know what's coming, but insert your will, right?
I think the Seahawks learned that lesson in the Super Bowl. You know, God. Just the ability to just, you know what you need to do, and just overpowering somebody and imposing your will on somebody. That's like what football is.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
Yeah, the times where I've got myself in trouble is when sometimes they overthink it and get cute. Why? I mean, if what you're doing
what
is
are
working.
We doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I know for me offensively, that's something I got better at, have gotten better at, is if something's working, don't overthink it. Keep doing it till they stop you. You know, don't be that guy that's like looking for a different way to attack in the passing game just because you're bored.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and a lot of coaches do. You get caught up in that. And that, what can we do? What can we get away with? Almost, as opposed to, you know, what do we do best?
Exactly. Right?
We got Joe Bushman in with us. He's the head football coach at Lewis and Clark College. You guys do something very different up on Palatine Hill. And I have been a fan of it since I found out that you guys have this program, but it is a life coach program that you have. And I'd love for you to kind of shed some light on it, because it's not just one guy that you have there. You've got multiple people kind of mentoring different players and different paths that they're going to be taking. And that's something very fascinating to me. We got Joe Bushman in studio with us, the head football coach up at Lewis and Clark. We got another hour with Coach Bushman, and we got a lot of questions coming in, and we'll get to those next hour as well. If you have any questions, fan text line 503-250-1080. This is Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.